Hey, you know what? Today, God brought an amazing speaker from another country, from Australia, all the way to us. Thank you, Danny. We have a Reverend Dr. Tanya Harris. And Tanya, Dr. Tanya, she's an ordained minister, a pastor, an international speaker, and the founding director of a global ministry called God Conversations. God Conversations aims to equip people to recognize and respond to God's voice. You know, Tanya, she has a very busy schedule in the week ahead, and she has intense training sessions with all the school teachers at Elim schools. And so when she is in New Zealand, and we have 8 campuses, but she only speaks at city campus. Hey, I guess God just wants us to have conversations with him, okay? Amen. Okay, now let's lean in and give Dr. Tanya a huge welcome, a warm welcome.
Please. Good morning, Elim Christian Center. How are you? I'm sitting here trying to work out how I can get a crunchy. I'm like, it's not my birthday. I know, I'm Australian. Does that warrant a crunchy? People are going, no. I speak and then it appears. So wonderful to meet you all. How are you this morning? What a fabulous church right in the heart of the city. Great coffee, friendly people. I think this is the place to be. I have had a little bit of an association with Elim churches in the UK. So it's great to be here in New Zealand. I love New Zealand. I think the Kiwis are a wonderful nation of people. You have a stunning country, and it's a real honour to be here this morning. Thank you, Pastor Shane, for having me. Let me tell you a little bit about myself. My story kind of began at the age of 21. I had grown up in church all of my life, and I had read the Bible from cover to cover, and I had gone into church very long sermons, deep exegetical sermons for like an hour long. And I had done that all my life. But then I met a friend at the age of 21. And my friend spoke about God talking to her. And I thought, really? God? Like the creator of the universe speaking to you? I'd never heard of that before. I'd kind of read it in the Bible, but I'd never heard about God speaking. And I had a lot of questions. I'm like, wow, what did God say? And then how did you know that it was God? Because, you know, I'd heard lots of stories about God speaking, but, you know, you could make things up, couldn't you? And then what happened afterwards? And I noticed something about my friend. You know, I'd been in church all my life, and I knew a lot about God. But I knew about God in the same way that you might know the King of England through the pages of a magazine. You know, you could know King Charles, and you could know about his passion for the environment. You might know a bit of his love life, a bit of the drama. But unless you sat down and had a cup of tea with King Charlie, you wouldn't know him personally, right? And when my friend talked about God, she seemed like she knew him personally. And I remember feeling a little bit jealous. I'm like, God, I've seen how you speak to people in Scripture. Could you speak to me? So I prayed a prayer. It was actually on the shores of a beach in Auckland, is where it all began. And I said, God, would you speak to me? And if you do, could you just make it really clear? Like, none of that fuzzy-wuzzy stuff. You know what I'm talking about? You can just make it really clear. And if you make it clear, I will do whatever you say. Yeah. Someone's smiling. Turns out that God did speak to me. He made it really clear. And I did what God said. Eventually. And life turned out to be quite different to what I had imagined. I started out my working career as a school teacher, teaching children how to play sport. And then at the age of 26, God called me into ministry. It was a bit confusing for me, though, because in my tradition, people like me, female, didn't do ministry. So I had to sort that out as well. I went back to study and I was involved in lots of forms of ministry. I planted a church in Melbourne where I grew up. I was involved in teaching ministry trainees how to be ministers in missions and in youth. And then later on, Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, Tanya, your job in life is to take everything you have learnt about hearing my voice and pass it on to other people. So 15 years ago, the ministry of God Conversations was born. And that's what I do today. I teach people how to hear, recognize, and respond to the voice of the Holy Spirit. And as I traveled into different churches and different countries in the world, I discovered that people were asking all the same questions as I did. And that sometimes there's a bit of confusion around this, and I wanted to kind of address the confusion. So you know what I did? I did a PhD in hearing God's voice. You didn't think that was possible, did you? I don't think God's very impressed. But I wanted to help people hear the voice of God because I realized all those years of not knowing what that meant and then the years of experiencing that, what a difference it made. And it made quite a bit of surprising difference. I want to talk to you a little bit about that this morning. But before I do, I want to let you know that God Conversations is here to serve you. We want to be able to help you in your journey to hearing the voice of the Spirit. And everything we do is a resource for the church. We have a fabulous website called godconversations.com, which has podcasts and videos and articles and all sorts of things to help you. And we've got some resources as well, which I brought along this morning. And I'm going to give some things away. Is that okay? Do people at Elam like freebies? Yeah? Everyone's face just broke open in a smile. I know it's early. All right, let me tell you. First of all, I'm going to tell you about something that's not a freebie. This one here is The Church Who Hears God's Voice, and it contains some of the highlights of my PhD. It doesn't have too many big words, I promise. But if you're the kind of person who likes to go deeply into things, this book is for you. And then this one here is the light version that you take on holidays with you and get to read a whole lot of fun stories. Does that appeal to anyone? Who would like some? This lady here, I'm going to give it to you because your smile is beautiful this morning. Would you like to come up and grab that? There we go, Stacey. She's leaning in. I love that. And then we have some teaching on how to hear God's voice, some audio teaching. And there's this thing, this old-fashioned thing. It's one of those, it's round and it's kind of silver. And it works really well in vintage cars. Yeah? Or there's the high-tech one, which is a USB stick. This morning, by the way, there's a bit of a discount for the book in this one, so I encourage you to make yourself available of that. Anyone who has an old vintage car or would just like to hear about, you can have the high tech one as well. You'll do the digital one. All right, that's for you. That's awesome. One of the big differences I discovered when I heard God's voice is I began to know God in a different way. And I want to talk to you this morning about the knowable God, the God that can be known. So, Father, we ask that your Spirit would be present with us this morning, and we open up our hearts and our ears to hear, Holy Spirit, what you're saying to us. And more than anything else, God, my prayer is that every person here will hear your voice, that your voice would be loud and clear, and that God, you will send forth your word and plant it into people's hearts in order to bring life and truth and freedom. God, we're here to meet with you. So Holy Spirit, would you speak to us this morning? And all God's people said,
amen.
Amen. In August 2019, a group of archaeologists made a shocking discovery. On the northern coast of Peru, they unearthed 227 skeletons of children between the ages of 4 and 14. After further investigation, they realized that all these children had been brutally killed at the same time. The archaeologists realized that the find was dated to the Chimú tribe, who lived 600 years ago. And the question was, why? Why would so many parents bring their children to be slaughtered? It's hard to imagine. Well, when you understand a little bit about the tribal culture of these people, perhaps we can understand why. The archaeologists surmised that under this tribal understanding, that the people believed in many gods. They were polytheistic, and they believed, as many ancient tribes do, that the gods controlled different features of nature. So if you wanted to do well in life, you had to keep the gods happy. And depending on what god you needed at the time was the one you needed to keep happy. So what you would do is you would bring sacrifices, perhaps the fruit of your crops, or some precious jewelry, or if you were really desperate, you might even bring your children. And the archaeologists realized that probably what was happening was that this area was subject to the effects of the El Nino weather phenomenon that would come and often cause landslides and storms and destroy the village. So for the Chimú people, the only solution was to bring a sacrifice to keep the gods from destroying their village. It's horrible, isn't it? Why am I telling you this awful story on a Sunday morning? Well, the reason I do is because many tribes of the ancient world had this same approach to life. Many tribes of the world of the ancient Near East at the time of Israel. And when we understand the backdrop of what was happening in this time in history, the God of the Bible, the Creator God, shines out most brightly. Let me take you to a little story you may have heard before. It involved a man who God used, and his name was Elijah. And Elijah had just been part of a competition with the king and queen of Israel, Ahab and Jezebel, over which God was the most powerful, the God who answered by fire. Well, we know which God won, don't we? Yahweh, that's the Hebrew name of the Israel God, the Creator, was shown to be the most powerful. But this enraged Ahab and Jezebel because they believed in other gods that were less powerful. And Elijah finds himself fleeing for his life. He finds himself in a mountain inside a cave. And it's there that God says to Yahweh, I'm going to reveal myself to you. The question is, how? How does God show himself to Elijah? Well, first of all, there's a great and mighty wind that shatters the rocks. But God wasn't in the wind. And then there was an earthquake, but God wasn't in the earthquake. Then there was a fire, but God wasn't in the fire. How did the God of heaven and earth reveal himself? Do you know? God speaks in a voice. In a voice that speaks to Elijah and speaks about his life, about what he'd just been through, about his fears and his depression about getting killed, about his future and what to do about it. God speaks to Elijah. This is how God reveals God's self to us. Think about that for a moment. The fact that God speaks makes him knowable. How do we know people? How do you get to know someone? You know, when little babies are born, they're so cute, aren't they? Gooing and gowing. We all turn into babies. We all start speaking baby talk. Why do we do that? But then this little baby who's so cute suddenly starts to grow, and then the little baby speaks. And you can start to know what the child is like. And you can start to see that they really do take after their father. Yeah? The fact that we speak makes us knowable. We get to know someone by talking and listening to them. It's a two-way conversation. Have you ever tried to have a relationship with someone who does all the talking? No nudging of elbows, please. It doesn't make for a great relationship, does it? God is a God who speaks. This is how God defines God's self in Scripture. The God who speaks back. And the fact that God speaks means that we can know him personally. See, this God is powerful, yes. He'd already shown himself powerful by the fire, but no, God chooses to define himself by speaking. So we talk a lot about having a personal relationship with God, don't we? What does that mean? How do you have a relationship with someone you can't see? We hear his voice. The God who is knowable in ancient times, who spoke to Israel, who spoke through the prophets, but then fast forward in history, and then we see the amazing demonstration of the knowable God when Jesus comes. Because how is Jesus described? The Word in the flesh. It's a funny way to describe a person, the Word. See, in ancient times, God spoke the words of God, largely through the prophets. They would hear from God and then they would pass God's words on to the people. But now God speaks through Jesus, who came and lived among us, the walking, talking God, the God who showed God's self through a person. How good would it have been to be one of the disciples of Jesus? I mean, you could hear God's voice when you were walking along the streets of Jerusalem, couldn't you? You could hear God's voice when Jesus was preaching on the temple steps. You could hear God's voice when you were having dinner, bread and olives in the dining rooms. But not just hearing God's voice when Jesus spoke, but hearing God's voice when Jesus acted. The Word of God in the flesh. Everything Jesus said was God's Word, but not only that, everything Jesus did. So what was God saying when Jesus gathered the children on his lap? What was God saying when Jesus touched the leper that nobody else could touch? What was God saying when Jesus refused to throw rocks at the woman caught in adultery? What was God saying when Jesus stretched out his arms and died? The living Word of God, who came as a man to show us what God is like, to send us a message about the nature of God, deeply personal, deeply knowable. Well, then you can only imagine how the disciples felt when Jesus said, "I'm leaving." What? Jesus, you're leaving? What do you mean you're leaving? You can't leave. How are we going to know what to do? How are we going to hear your voice? You're about to give us the great commission to go into all the world and preach the gospel. Jesus, we've never been into all the world to preach the gospel before. And we're supposed to help build the church, but Jesus, what's a church? How are we going to know what to do? How are we going to hear your voice? And then what does Jesus say? It is for your good that I go. His words are found through from John 14 to chapter 16. It's for your good that I go. Because if I go, I will send you my Spirit. And my Spirit's going to continue to speak to you. My Spirit's going to remind you of everything that I have said and done. My Spirit's going to remind you of the truths of salvation. My Spirit's going to remind you of what the kingdom of God is like. My Spirit's going to remind you of God's character and nature in me. My Spirit's going to remind you of those things. The truth now recorded for us is Scripture, right? My Spirit's going to remind you of those things, but I've got so much more to tell you. And you can't handle it all at once. But don't worry, because my Spirit's going to speak to you about things to come. Those questions and those issues that come up as you go out onto my mission, my Spirit's going to speak to you about those things. It will be better than having me with you. The knowable God in Jesus who promises the Spirit. And when does Jesus' words come to pass? On that day of Pentecost, that annual Jewish feast when a small group of disciples were gathered. Finally, the moment they'd been waiting for. The Holy Spirit comes. And on that incredible day, many miracles happened. There was all sorts of spiritual languages. The presence of God breaking out. But notice what the Apostle Peter says amongst it all. He stands up and he says, "This is what was promised by my prophet Joel, and in fact many other prophets as well, that my Spirit would be poured out on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will have visions. Your old men will have dreams." What does that mean? I used to wonder that myself. I'd be sitting in church thinking, I know what it means. You know, because sometimes in church there's old men. And they sit up the back row. And because sometimes the pastor, you know, goes on and on and on. Not in this church, of course. And, you know, because they're going a bit long, the old men fall asleep. And they have dreams, right? Is that what happens? Yeah. Some enthusiastic nods. But the young men, because they're so young and they're so full of zeal and life, right, Daniel, sitting up the front row and they're getting excited about God's plan and they're writing down the vision for their life. Is that what it means? Not really. What was Peter saying? Under the old covenant in ancient times, the main way that God spoke was through the prophets. They were specially anointed and appointed people. They would hear God's voice and then they would pass it on to others. They would hear God's voice largely in dreams and visions. It's kind of a picture way that God communicates. You see it all the way through the Bible. Very effective and powerful form of communication. You've heard that phrase, a picture tells a thousand words, yeah? So the prophets would hear God's voice and they would pass it on, or they would prophesy. So what was Peter saying about this new covenant of the Spirit? Who can hear God's voice and speak it out or pass it on? Who can have dreams and visions and prophesy? Sons and daughters, young and old, male and female, everyone now has access to God's voice. Everyone can know God for themselves through the Spirit. Later, Peter says, now this promise isn't just for you assembled here. This promise is for your children, and for their children, and their children after that, right down to the 21st generation, right down to the people of Elam Christian Centre meeting in Auckland this morning, right down to you and I, the Spirit given to each one of us, that we may hear God's voice for ourselves, that we may prophesy, that we may speak it out, live it, and pass it on if it's for somebody else. Everyone now has direct access to the knowable God. I remember understanding this myself and then getting really excited. I wondered what difference would it make in my life. And I remember in the early days longing to hear the voice of God. And as God called me into ministry as a young woman, I remember very clearly I was in a church in Melbourne at the time. It was just a fairly small church. I was new there. And God said to me, Tanya, this is the place where you're going to be raised up in ministry. The pastor is going to mentor you. You're going to be raised up in leadership and you're going to work at the church one day a week. I thought, oh, that's good. How can I make that happen? What do I need to do? Perhaps I should sit up the front row in very bright clothing, bright red pants. Yeah. A few weeks later, we were in church and we were having a prayer time, and the pastor came over to me. She said, Tanya, God has spoken to me. He's asked me to mentor you, to raise you up in leadership here in this church, and that you could work here one day a week. God's words coming to pass in my life. What difference did it make? Well, growing up, I knew that God had good plans for us. Plans to prosper us and not to harm us. Plans to give us a hope and a future. But now, after hearing the voice of the Spirit for myself, I realized that God had good plans for me. Plans to prosper me. Plans to give me a hope and a future. Can you see the difference? See, the prophet Jeremiah spoke about this time. Under the old covenant, people could still hear God's voice, but they had to go through somebody else. And he said, there's going to come a time when God will write his words on our hearts so that we will know God, not through somebody else, not through Pastor Shane, not through our small group leader, not through an expert on a podcast, but for ourselves. This Spirit that's been given to sons and daughters, young and old, the Spirit that has been given to you and I. Well, how do we hear God's voice then? It's always the question, isn't it? It's a question I'm asked all the time. What do I need to do to hear God's voice? And I would really love to say, okay, this is what you need to do. Number one, you need to come to church every week. Number two, you need to read your Bible for 3 hours a day. Number three, you need to come to the small group. Number four, you need to go up a mountain and spend 5 hours in prayer. Wouldn't you love a nice little formula like that? Maybe not that, you know, that much. Well, the thing about this is that it's not a formula. See, God is a person. It's a relationship. And how does it begin? Well, we hear God's voice through the eyes of our hearts. We hear God's voice when we posture our hearts to know God for ourselves. When we say, God, I want you to speak to me. I want you to make it really clear. And whatever you say, I will follow. When Jesus was on earth, he said what it meant to be a Christian, what it meant to be a disciple. He said, my people recognize my voice. And they follow. Why don't you stand with me as we close this morning? Because I want to present you with a challenge. wouldn't want to hear God's voice? Who wouldn't want to see the beauty of the Creator speaking words about our lives, about our futures, about the unknown, about what God wants to do in our hearts? We all want that, don't we? How do we access that for ourselves? Well, we come in faith and we say, God, I know that you are knowable. I know that you demonstrated your word fully in Jesus. And I know that you sent your Spirit, that we will continue to follow you. And God, in faith, I believe that this morning. And then we open up our hearts and we make a decision to follow. We posture our hearts to seek after the God who's known. To say, God, I want to know you for myself. God, I appreciate my leaders. I appreciate the experts around me, those who have gone before. I want to learn from them, but God, I want to know you for myself. In the context of my own life, in the context of my family, my workplace, Holy Spirit, I want you to speak to me. Is that your prayer this morning? Speak to me. If you want to echo those words in your heart, speak to me, God. Why don't you pray that for yourself? God, speak to me. Make it clear. Take away the filters and the baggage that I bring. Give me eyes to see clearly, God, what you're saying to me. Help me to recognize it. And God, this morning I make a decision to follow. I'll follow you, God. Whatever you say. Because I know your words bring life. I know your words bring truth. I know your words bring freedom. Holy Spirit, we ask that you would speak to your people. That God, in this church, amongst these sons and daughters, young and old, that your Spirit would be unleashed in new ways across this community. Give us eyes to see, ears to hear, Father, in a sharpened, clear way. God, I pray for those who are still on that journey of deciding whether to know you or not. I pray that you would give them confidence to step into your goodness, confidence to step into your love. Why don't you respond to him this morning? You can raise your hand. God, I want to follow you. I want to know you for myself. Do you want a stronger relationship with God? God, we want to know you. Speak, Lord. We're listening. Amen. Amen.